Iran welcomes a reconciliation deal reached between Hamas and Fatah factions. The West fails to agree on a Syria statement. The first international conference on fighting non-communicable diseases gets started in Moscow. And Thailand and Cambodia call truce after a week of fighting. In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful, you're watching IRB English News. Thanks for tuning in. Tehran has welcomed an agreement between Palestinian Hamas and Fatah factions. Foreign Minister Ali Akbar Salehi described the accord as a positive step and said unity between the two groups would help the Palestinians achieve their rights. The top Iranian diplomat also expressed hope for the immediate reopening of the Rafah crossing and access of the Palestinian people in the Gaza Strip to basic supplies. Delegations representing Hamas and Fatah have come to an understanding in the Egyptian capital of Cairo, where they resumed unity talks. The complete understanding was reached after talks on all the points, including the formation of a transitional government with a specific mandate and setting a date for elections. The U.S. and its allies have faced another failure in a U.N. Security Council meeting on Syria. U.S. Ambassador to the U.N., Susan Rice, harshly criticized Syria in remarks echoed by France, Britain, Germany and Portugal. Washington's four European allies had earlier presented the Council with a draft press statement to condemn Damascus over human rights concerns. Yet Russia and China, as permanent members of the Security Council and Lebanon, as the Arab League representative, blocked the statement calling on the UN body to stop meddling in Syria internal affairs. Meanwhile, Syrian ambassador to the UN, Bashar Jaafari, hit out at Washington for meddling in Middle East affairs and vetoing the Security Council's anti-Israeli resolutions.
My government is keen interest in continuing the process of reforms according to the wish of our own people. This process of reforms emanates from domestic national necessities. It is not and it will not be dictated on us from outside. There is no need, according to us, there is no need for any UN investigation commission with this regard, because our national body has already started looking into the matter in its wide spectrum. And then later on, we will see the outcomes of this investigation.
And right after the meeting, Tehran's permanent representative to the UN criticized the West's inclination towards militarism. Mohammad Khazai said the Western dual policy on military intervention in one country and silence in the other has failed. He added the main issue is that we are very concerned about the support of some members of the Security Council, including the United States, for military interventions in other countries such as Iran's immediate neighboring states. Khazai emphasized that the U.S. should stop issuing remarks when it amounts to interference in the internal affairs of sovereign nations. And First Vice President Mohammad Reza Rahimi says Iran and Turkey enjoy great potential for cooperation on all fronts, customs sector in particular. Rahimi said this in a meeting with visiting head of Turkish Customs Organization, Hayati Yazici, and said common background between the two nations will surely accelerate the steps needed to be taken in enhancement of ties. The senior official then referred to closer exchanges on education front and said that the governments of Iran and Turkey can share experiences on executive system and automation of government services. The Turkish side, for his part, voiced his country's readiness for more overall interactions with Iran. Envoys from 190 members of the World Health Organization have come together in the Russian capital of Moscow for the first international conference on fighting non-communicable diseases. The conference aims to examine the negative effects of diseases such as cancer, heart problems, and high blood sugar on patients and the ways to minimize them. The conference has also urged the WHO's support for introduction of detailed plans to fight non-contagious diseases and implementation of such plans globally. An Iranian delegation headed by Health Minister Marzia Vahid Dastgirdi has attended the conference. Dastgirdi also met her Russian counterpart and officials from other countries on the sidelines of the conference. Parliament Speaker Ali Larijani has called on the Inter-Parliamentary Union IPU to set up an impartial fact-finding committee to probe the humanitarian crisis in Bahrain. In a telephone conversation with IPU President Theo Ben-Gurirab, Larijani expressed concern over the tragic humanitarian disaster in Bahrain and called for immediate formation of an impartial committee to investigate the catastrophe. The top Iranian legislator said that killing of protesters, sexual harassment and destruction of mosques in Bahrain were instances of violation of human rights and urged the IPU to adopt a top stance on the crisis in Bahrain. People in Bahrain have been holding anti-government protests since February 14, demanding constitutional reforms as well as an end to the Al-Khalifa monarchy. At least four people were injured in NATO airstrike on Libyan capital Tripoli, which struck a military target in the eastern part of the city. NATO said its airplanes fired four rockets on Tripoli, hitting a military academy, an administrative building of an academy, and a government-owned warehouse were destroyed in the raid in the southeast town of Kufra. Forces loyal to Muammar Gaddafi and opposition fighters are locked in heavy clashes. Libyan opposition, meantime, said that they are in complete control of the Libyan city of Ajdabiya and they encourage residents to return. And in Yemen, security forces have opened fire on a massive anti-government demonstrators in the capital Sana'a, killing 12 protesters and wounding some 190. The violence broke out as about 100,000 government opponents filled a landmark square, spilling into the streets. Witnesses said security forces fired live ammunition and tear gas into the crowd to break it up. Snipers were seen nearby rooftops aiming at the crowd. The protesters were shouting slogans denouncing the PGCC plan, which authorizes the president to transfer the power to his vice president. The Amnesty International, meanwhile, said President Ali Abdullah Saleh should not be granted immunity from prosecution under a Persian Gulf transitional plan. With IRIB, moving on to some sports news, head coach of the Iranian national soccer team, Carlos Queiroz, says his main goal in Iran is to form a united football team for the best performance on the regional and international fronts. Speaking in his first press conference in Iran, the 57-year-old former Manchester United assistant manager said that he has reviewed the current situation of Iran's football to pick the most talented and prepared players for the national team. The Portuguese manager also picked Omid Namazi as his assistant while introducing Alireza Mansourian as Iran Olympic football coach. The Iranian national soccer team will leave Tehran for Europe in June to hold a camp followed by a match against Maldives. And the 32nd week of Iran's Premier League kicked off with three matches in different parts of the country. Esteghlal and Persepolis of Tehran were held to goalless draws against their rivals Shahin of Bushehr and Mes of Kerman. In another match of the day, the host Zobahan of Isfahan finished a decisive match against Pulad of Khuzestan with a 1-1 draw. Bakari Diakite scored an early goal for Fulad at the 14th minute, and Mehdi Rajabzadeh shattered Fulad's hopes for victory at the 63rd minute. Time now to check on some of the news in brief. In a major U.S. military reshuffle, President Barack Obama is sending CIA Director Leon Panetta to the Pentagon to replace Robert Gates as Secretary of Defense. Panetta will be replaced by General David Petraeus, the commander of the Iraq and Afghanistan wars. Gates would step down after managing the turnaround of the Iraq war under George W. Bush and the expansion of the Afghanistan war under Obama. Critics say the move cements a planned reduction of U.S. forces in Afghanistan in July. Thailand and Cambodia said they have agreed to end fierce fighting on their shared border after 7 days of clashes that left 15 dead. Under the agreement, border checkpoints will reopen and villagers will start to return home. The deal authorizes soldiers to stay where they are. Both countries have blamed each other for sparking the violence around two contested jungle temples, the bloodiest fighting between the neighbors in decades, which has displaced around 75,000 civilians. China's population is aging rapidly, though its leaders are refusing to relax strict family planning controls that are part of the cause. The results of a national census show the proportion of elderly people in the country of 1.34 billion jumped, while that of young people plunged sharply. The census results also show that half the population now lives in cities. The result fueled worries over how long the country will be able to sustain its high economic growth. And a bus carrying Pakistani Navy officials was hit by a roadside bomb in the port city of Karachi. This is the third attack on the Navy in less than a week. Four Navy officers and one pedestrian were killed in the blast. A dozen people were injured in the attack, which was claimed by Taliban. Experts say attacks on the Navy, seen as a soft target, could be part of Taliban's new strategy in widening their violent campaign. Into the U.S., a deadly tornado has hit the country, U.S. state of Alabama, wreaking havoc in Tuscaloosa and leaving scores of people dead or injured. We have a report on the story.
Houses are torn apart, and cars lie flattened and upside down. The mile-wide twister killed at least 15 people, injured more than 100, and destroyed everything in its path. Tuscaloosa Mayor Walter Maddox expects the death toll to rise, and fears many victims could still be buried beneath rubble. Most of the area remains without power, and schools and businesses are closed. U.S. President Barack Obama declared a state of emergency for Alabama and ordered federal aid to the stricken state. The tornado came as part of a series of storms that began lashing the southeastern United States on Monday and have killed more than 70 people.
Well, that's all from IRB English Newsroom. Do stay with us. Nationwide Weather Report is coming up next. Goodbye and have a very good time.